having it in different perspectives in the whole project.
Right.
Let's work back. What did he's having a favorite
song? He grew up on this
right below the dam, around the dam, it's built. The lower dome, there's a bend on the river where it goes pretty deep.
So how are all these created?
Colored pencils.
Wow, that's great.
They're all original. I draw right on the wood, varnish on top. I don't do copies or prints. I just
I don't think it'll work for this one anymore.
You ever had a Kansas City barbecue?
Too sweet.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm from Texas.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. Never mind.
Too sweet.
Yeah.
It's good, but too sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any of the St. Louis stuff.
So much sugar.
It'd be cool if we can get on top of this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like mark your spot, you can probably come back and dissolve. Like start with the wide and then dissolve it with a proper shot.
Fancy.
Try to do some production value.
I'll shoot him a text.
Nope, we're all good.
Okay, yeah. Great.
Cool. A good, like, literally an hour and a half into the bush, gravel roads, we carry the boats down and make it really simple with the motors. It shows us late like, and then like the stringer.
That was fun.
And then the host would take a picture of us, put it up on their website. So we were all like that group that yeah. came up is always the like,
who are these
the
guys?
We caught here. And everybody would come be like, we didn't send more to this.
That's fun. You do it more often? Oh wow.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin Fishing Expo attendees and vendor partners. It is just a few minutes before 1 o'clock, and so it is time to prepare ourselves for the playing of the national anthem. There are flags available to be seen in the south end of the lobby atrium, in the center of the interior hall. I represent the Wisconsin Fishing Expo once again. Please take a moment, prepare yourselves, and let us honor our nation with the playing of the national anthem. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate your time. The 2026 edition of the Wisconsin Fishing Expo is now open. Hours today, 1 to 8. First seminar session will begin at 3 o'clock. Thanks for choosing to spend your day with us here at Wisconsin Fishing Expo.
Go over there. I just want to see the eye. I can't.
Thank you.
This won't air for a long time, so.
Thank you. our walleye fisheries collapsed. And actually, I testified in Natural Resources Board Tuesday. I'm an aquatic fish biologist. And we, my last job for the DNR was 40 years ago at the Schooner Hatchery. And I'm a Leopold guy, okay? I'm a Leopold guy, so I've always thinking how things are connected. So, as I just told this guy, 2000, in the late 90s, the Bureau of Fish Management did a study on, it's called imprinting. So fish go back to where they're born. So it's called spawning site fidelity. They go back to yeah. that, but they never considered.
Well, can I send you one bit of information?
I should say, back in the 30s and 40s, they had a regulation that says if you take walleyes
kind of,
out of a lake,
you have to
return 10% of saccharide. They never did it. So, and the walleyes were putting out from all that investment are all females and all sterile females. So we put 30 million in and a. And they compete with our native walleyes in northern Wisconsin, and it's just crashing. So he's got evidence of all the walleyes. Oh yeah, it's on your sheet. Is yeah. it in there? All the on the back of that sheet. We're in the heart of Vilas County, the heart of the original range of walleyes, and everything's going. So how do you sell? And that. One of those hatching jars, two of those hatching jars, we can hatch out 400,000 walleye eggs. And guess what? We're getting them from Native Americans. Okay, they're taking them out of the lake. No, let me, if you spawn them, we're gonna be out there, we're gonna put them in this hatching jar. And then they'll cannibalize each other, swim up, they go in that blue tank. We take them after, it's about the time they're absorbing their yolk sac, we put them in the thermocline habitat.
Deep water habitat where the zooplankton.
It's right at the zooplankton.
Are like photosensitive, so they stay up the during the day.
How are you?
During the day or during the night. So they to improve our fisheries. And I found a study done by.
Pardon me. Is it Bowman?
This is a study done by.
Well, see, here's my
the
book.
Two top
I went from
research biologists in the state.
This.
So Greg Sass is a. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Is he here?
No, I'm here up in Dublin.
Oh, okay, yeah. Escanaba, yeah. I fished there a thousand
times. Well, we'll be here all weekend.
So, in looking through his study, I found out that. So they were looking for why the walleyes were all female.
You can take this, and then I'll just wield it. Because we're going to show the monster walleye today. We actually brought that in.
Cool.
Yeah, this thing is a tank.
And what's so cool is, we knew when we netted this, I really wanted a 34-incher, but we knew when we netted this that this was our biggest fish. And then got a ton of pictures, went up to Door County, got certified at a certified scale, and when we saw it push 13 pounds for a summertime fish, unbelievable. So. What we use this too is to teach kids the parts of the fish, you know, so that they can come up and touch it. That's why you can see everything's like quadruple taped. Mm-hmm. It's not as pretty as it could be, mm-hmm. but it's protected, you know, because kids like to come up and touch the fin or feel the scales or look at their eyes or teeth. I mean, look at those teeth, huh? Mm-hmm. So this is it's incredible because this is the first time I'm ever going to show it at a walleye seminar for adults because they'll know what it's like. Kids, well, it's a fish, yeah. You know, they don't know it's a huge fish, but everybody in that seminar over there, they're going to know that this is, mm-hmm. you know, this is something that needs to be on the wall. So, and you know, I was so lucky to have somebody mount this, you know, they donated it, mm-hmm. and to make it 360 made the container. So this thing has traveled so far. I mean, this is, I think I caught this probably 8 years ago. And you know, it's nothing like showing it to people versus just sitting on the mantle.
Yeah.
So that's what's so cool about it. Look at that walleye, and that's what we're hoping when kids come to our fishing clinics, that they're all excited the minute that truck drives into their school and they're ready to listen, you know? So.
Go ahead and set up, do what you do, but.
I
So how did all this start?
How did this all start? I think it all started because I love fishing, but I worked at Thrivent Financial, which is up in Appleton, and they're a big fraternal-based company. And I was doing stuff with, you know, Harbor House and Habitat for Humanity. And I was working with Harbor House, Habitat for Humanity, and I said, maybe I should do something for fishing. So I started doing something for fishing, and then I was like, I think we can do more. So then I just started doing fishing clinics, you know, for Thrivent, and because we had a great volunteer base. So I started doing that, and then I was like, well, we need to do a little more. And we started out small, so from 2007 to 2015, we did it out of our own basement. So we had some sponsors that gave us product, and we just started that way. And finally we said, we're so big, we gotta have liability insurance and everything. And 2015, Learn to Fish With Us was born. And it took a lot of time in coming up with the name, you know, because everybody's like, it should be Great Carch Fishing or something like that. And I was like, no, because the way we're going to make this happen is we're going to do it through us, donors, volunteers, and that's us. And so that's how the Learn to Fish With Us got there. And the number two, people are like, why the number two versus two? I was like, I want to be different. You know, so that's what happened. And then what we did is we just slowly built the program. I put a foundation in there, and then we listened to people's feedback, and that's what got us to, you know, our educational aids here, you know, which hopefully helped to point out, you know, the different fish and a nice color representation so that we can actually talk about the stripes or the eyes. And you know, Wisconsin DNR has these fish ID cards, which are awesome. And they're like, yeah, use it. And, you know, that's what got us to doing that. And then we said, hey, we got to teach them about bait. How do you hook the bait? So took representations of all the different bait, kept it in our format. Then we said, you know what? Another important task is knots. So then we went out and taught knots. And what's impressive is kids are really visual based. I mean, when we had this banner one time and we were really busy with casting, kids were picking up, you know, the hooks that we have right here. And we'd have these hooks and these ropes here. They'd actually pick this up and they'd use the diagram and actually do it on their own. So we didn't have to be present, which was awesome. So then we said, this is just something great to add. Because I would always show them how to do it, but a lot of kids could pick up this way. And, you know, a lot of people ask, how did we come to the curriculum of, you know, like backyard bass? This is backyard bass. So what's really cool is we can catch fish at tomorrow's seminar. And that's what a lot of kids will do, because we're going to teach them how to cast safely and accurately. And then they're going to have fish on the back. So we actually go to a lot of events where this is it. And we're in a farm field. We have a blue tarp out there to look like water. And they're actually catching fish. And you'll hear them, got another one. And all of a sudden you see these kids come running. What's going on here? They know that some fishing's going on, but we're in a farm field. And they learn that they can actually catch this. So what's really cool with this is we can teach kids of all ages. So we have little rods, we have big rods, but what we're gonna do is teach them tomorrow how to look behind them, how to cast over their shoulder, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and they're gonna learn how straight it is. Then they're gonna learn that by using their rod tip, they can move the fish to the right or to the left, and hopefully they're gonna feel a bite, and they're actually gonna catch. Well, what does this seem to be? It looks like they caught a perch. So hopefully they're going to learn all these skills. And the reason knots and like casting is so important is because these are skills that families need. These are skills that the parents need the kids to learn rather quickly so that it's not a job for them. That is probably the biggest thing out of it. But that's how we've slowly built our curriculum. We talk about crankbaits and bait, but the one thing about our seminar is everything is here. We talk about crankbaits, they get to see it. They get to know why is this gonna go down deep or why is this gonna be shallow? They're gonna smell it. They're gonna go, this bag has been open for a whole year, and they're gonna realize why we use artificial bait. Because when we open this and have them smell test it, they're gonna go, pee you! And they're gonna realize this. I still remember, I was at a sports show, I remember opening this bag for the very first time, and a kid went in there and he grabbed it. And I remember the parent seeing me later that night at the sports show and saying, my son still stinks. So, you know, and that's it, you know. The kids get so excited. I mean, I was lucky in June to actually make it on a magazine cover in 2019, and I bring this because the other thing that we need to teach the kids is goals. And I want to express, as a kid, I said I want to catch this fish, or I want to catch this fish, and I want to get it bigger. And I says, as I got to be an adult, I was a guide, so I was in magazines all the time, but to make the cover is so difficult, and I said, that's a goal. And then finally, when I made the cover, my final goal is to make it into the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. So that is a, you know, that is something I think it's gonna take time to submit, you know, a request in that, but it's just proving that you're here to help the sport out. And you know, and that's what I really love doing. I mean, I'm trying to look through some other stuff that we got in here, and oh my God, talk about a prop. The whole reason we have this big hook is just to show them what that piece is. And that if they know what the name is, and what is so cool is kids come to multiple clinics and they'll go, that's a barb. I remember you telling me that. And then I'll ask the simple question, are there any barbs in the crowd? And nobody will answer unless it's grandma. Grandma will say, yeah, I'm Barb. But no kids, you know, no kids are named Barb. But we also talk about how that barb is very important in catching fish, in that it'll hook and keep a fish on. But how important that is, that if it goes into your skin, it isn't coming out, you know. And so, you know, we think about it. You know, one thing that's very impressive, you know, tomorrow is going to be our 500th fishing program. So tomorrow is like, wow, pretty special day. But we don't always take all the kids fishing. You know, our main purpose is to educate them so that they can continue on, provide equipment. Tomorrow's fishing basic seminar, the first 75 youth are actually going to get a fishing combo. So they're going to have the tool that really is needed to continue on fishing. And the other big thing is they're going to have our fishing education book. I mean, this book talks about fish, it talks about all the casting we do, and it's fun. And what that's going to allow them to do is put this in their tackle box so that they know. And we got our website on the back. Our website contains over 150 educational videos, so that is going to allow them to continue on. Tomorrow at 2 p.m., we're actually shooting our next seminar that's called Beyond the Basics. So all the kids that came in here for the last 13 years, they could be teenagers, they could be 20 years old. And what we're going to do tomorrow is teach them about jigging, trolling, and really build upon their skills that they're going to learn. And so that's what's so cool about it. I mean, you know, we've gone from, this is still my first original flashcards. I keep it in here because I never know if something happens to our banners. But, you know, all our equipment, you know, it's just been based on, you know, and our biggest thing that we talk about is safety. It's hard to believe, you know, I see a lot of kids out there with no sunglasses. And sunglasses are just so vital. It's vital in protecting our eyes from the sun. When we're near water, we're getting double the sun. But it's also vital in protecting our eyes from hooks rod tips, stuff like that, especially all my volunteers. So we make sure we call them safety glasses. So
where do boat shows or fishing expos like this fit into the whole ecosystem of fishing? Like what part of that cycle is this?
I think sports shows allow people to get together. You know, they get together and you're able to see the different product, you know. So if somebody's thinking about ordering a rod, they can go to three different rod manufacturers here and find out what do they want. Can't do that on the internet. I mean, you can see what it looks like, but you know, when you're going and buying a nice rod, you want the feel. I mean, right now I'm actually testing an ice fishing combo, you know, and that's the reason I was out, hence when I lost my phone, was I was testing an ice fishing combo. And I mean, being out there and testing that stuff, I mean, the first time I tested it, you know, I learned more stuff the next time I went out and had a fish on. So I think that's how it is. I think, you know, having families go out with their kids and be able to see stuff like this, see the booth, see the professional anglers, you know, either if they're new to fishing, it gives them an opportunity to see more about fishing. But if they're into fishing, they could meet a role model that says, hey, you know, I want to be him. And then what he can do is help them say, what's the road plan? And that's what I really love. I spent a lot of time with high school fishing teams, you know, into helping us out do this. So that gives them leadership experience, but also, you know, to show them that, hey, there's a lot of stuff out there. We try to talk about how do you get into fishing, you know, how do you work with manufacturers, you know, and let them know that, hey, you know, it's fun. I mean, when you get to talk fishing for your job, how cool is that? I was an IT guy. I love what I'm doing now. I mean, and there's so many, I mean, fishing has so many opportunities. You could be sales, marketing, field testing, selling boats. I mean, there's just so much out there for fishing. And Wisconsin, I love it. I mean, when I went to the Caribbean a couple of weeks ago, that's the reason I got this tan. I was thinking about getting back and ice fishing or open water fishing. I mean, we're so close right now, everything opening up. I mean, Green Bay's open, Winneconne's open, Wisconsin Dells is open. So, you know, that one little bit of warm up really, really changed the ice, as you can see from Battle and Bagel, you know.
So talk to me a little bit about passing on knowledge to kids, because there's a lot of like hunting especially, but fishing as well, where there's a danger if the kids don't pick up on it, then there's, from a parent or a relative, it can be difficult to go out and learn on their own. So what place does this have in terms of kids that may not have a guardian who takes them out regularly, but they can still get into it if they have that interest?
That's where I love schools. You know, like, so March 7th, I'm going to be in five different schools. I'm going to be teaching third graders, you know, really all on the East Shore of Bagel. We're going all the way from south to north along the Bagel Coast. And when we go to schools, teachers have told me, I had so many students that said, I never knew nothing about fishing, and that they learned it that day and they want to go forward. And then what we do is we stress, if your uncle fishes, if your grandfather fishes, you know, if your friend fishes, ask them to take you. I mean, personally for me, I don't ever want my boat to only be me in it. I want others to be with me. And I take some of the neighbors' kids and stuff like that with me because I want to give them the opportunity. And, you know, and that's why it's like when I go into schools, I don't feel bad. Yeah, there's some kids, they're not interested. I totally understand that. But if we can get the kids that even have a hopeful thought, and then they can come and attend some of our fishing programs. So like for Learn to Fish with us, we'll host fishing programs with the Cub Scouts. But when we do that, we let people know that anybody that's in that area, come and join us. We're specifically throwing for Scouts, but we're gonna teach you. You're going to have the same right that the Cub Scouts do, because we need to make it public. You know, we just had somebody call up and said, hey, I need to get my kids to come, you know, to your event because I need help in teaching them. And not only that, I want to learn it. And that's why, like, if for Fishing Basics, when I'm promoting my clinic through social media, I want them to feel, because, you know, sometimes they'll really emphasize youth, families, but it's anybody that wants to learn the fishing. I mean, we got a lot of retired people out here, and it's like they could have time for a hobby, and fishing is perfect. Not only that, you know, a lot of my volunteers are probably mid-70s, so I think what Learn to Fish with us is doing is it's also giving them an opportunity to give back and know, you know, that, hey, we're all on here to help each other out.
So give me a little of your background, how you got into fishing. Was it a relative, friend, family? And then this documentary is about walleye, so I want to get your opinion of where walleye fits in the fish hierarchy.
Oh yeah, I have memories of all that, and that's what's so cool. So I actually started fishing when I was 10 years old, and I'm not quite sure where I got it. I know my parents may have taken me once or twice, and maybe that got me into it, but it was my buddy Don Brom. Hard to believe, I haven't seen that guy in, you know, probably 40 years, and I still remember his name. But we fished from when we were 10 till we were 23. And yeah, girls didn't really mean much. Fishing meant a lot more. Our driver's license even meant more, because now we could explore more water. But I remember when we were 16, I had a Gremlin and a 12-foot boat. And somehow with foam pads, we were able to get that boat on top of the Gremlin, put the motor inside the back hatchback, and we went to Lake Michigan. We went to Lake Winnebago. And we learned fishing. I fished for carp most of the time when I was a kid. So that's why people wonder, why is there a carp on your banner? It's because that is the best fighting fish when you can't catch a lot of other fish or you're limited. I remember when I was 21, 22, a buddy took me up north. It was up on the Rainbow Flowage. And he's like, we're going fishing for walleye today. And I was like, okay, so when you feel this tick, 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 what we're gonna do is we're gonna be patient and then we're gonna set the hook. And I'm like, I don't get it. Why am I not setting the hook the minute I feel tick, tick, tick? And that was it. That's how I got introduced to walleye. And I travel all around. I mean, I fished professionally. I went to Devil's Lake, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, and I love chasing walleye. But I really learned how, I live on Lake Winnebago. So to me, it's a walleye factory. I mean, we've had our good days, we've had our bad days, but last year was one of the best seasons. Usually July, August, we start transferring over to fish perch on Winnebago, but fishing was so good, we fished walleyes the whole year and just caught a lot of fish. And, you know, and that's why, you know, we got people that like to share, and we got people that don't like to share. You know, and today they're going to learn so much, because even during summer, I was fishing most of the time between 4 to 8 feet of water, and people would think you'd be fishing deeper. And I've just learned so many different methods. We're going to learn forward facing methods we use to catch fish. We're going to see how we cast our jig out, how it falls, and you see a fish follow it, and you catch a suspended fish. And that's why I'm so intrigued with the walleye, and that's the reason my truck has a walleye. I fish for everything, but getting that big walleye, I mean, when we got that 33-incher, my mission was I'm not mounting another walleye till it's 34 inches. Now, I'm starting to wonder if there is a 34-inch walleye, because I go up to Green Bay, and I fish up there for 10 days. We live in a tent. We take the boat out every day and we're out there fishing and looking for that fish. And we cover a lot of water, and it seems like there's so many more 30-inch fish, but we used to catch a lot of 32-inch fish. So, you know, you're just learning that. The other cool thing about Lake Winnebago walleye is they have a trawler. So they go out there for many, many weeks trawling and picking out specific parts in the lake to trawl so that we can understand the forage, we can understand the fish in there. So to live on a lake where there's that much data is incredible. And that's why I make sure that I'm always participating, helping them out. So Angelo is one of the fish biologists, and this year my goal is to be on a boat for the spawn, you know, and just being around all these big girls, taking care of them, and just learning about it. Because, you know, a lot of people say, ah, oh, he's a professional angler. I'm an angler educator. That is my mission. Taking all this data, all these techniques that I learn, and sharing it to the public, and hoping to make them a better angler, or being better educated on, you know, why are there regulations for walleyes, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, I really love that Wisconsin went to a 3-fish bay limit across. You know, I fished Wisconsin River a lot for walleyes, and once they put that slot in, it was so cool to see bigger fish being caught. And just imagine a youth being on that one nice jig, and all of a sudden, I got one. And then reeling it in, it's a bigger fish than they've ever seen, because it was, you know, more protected. So a lot of people have different philosophies there. 3 walleyes, if you go with 2 people at 6 walleyes, that's enough to eat, you know?
That's a good meal, right?
Well, that's it. And, you know, so another big aspect too to walleye fishing is cleaning your catch, you know? So a great way to clean your catch is to bleed your fish, you know? So make sure all the blood's out. So then when you're actually filleting them, they're actually pearl white. And then another important thing is taking out that mud vein. Wide bone is making sure that's out, because now you got a beautiful piece of meat to eat. And trust me, I love eating fish. I mean, that is the one thing that's so cool about hunting or fishing, is that you're able to take, I don't know, I'll call them an animal, a fish, an animal, but you're able to take it out of their environment and put it in your freezer and eat it. You know, that is what's so cool, you know.
So I know when kids usually start fishing, it's usually for panfish or, you know, carp or something simple and easy, and the little bite's a little easier for kids. But do you see that twinkle in their eye when they start to talk about walleye, or do they even understand at that age that they have, what you're really looking for is the wall, you know, that kind of thing?
When they can know that it's a game fish, I mean, you know, and that's it. You know, we got our game fish on this side, we got our panfish on there. But, you know, when they get to see, like, the walleye and the sauger, I mean, we got a fish that looks the same. And that's what tomorrow, you know, at Fishing Basics, we're going to be walking around with the walleye, because we're going to want them to see the teeth that a walleye has. I mean, most of the time, we're always talking about the teeth, they aren't going to hurt you. Well, if you put your fingers in a walleye, we're also going to teach them what a gill plate is, because we don't want them finding that out wrong, because that will slice you pretty easily. But their eyes glow. I mean, we'll talk about how a walleye can see like we do right now at midnight. They take what little light there is, and there's a lot of light right now because we're in a full moon cycle, so those fish can easily see what's going on. And not only that, the fight that walleye has. A lot of people don't know what that. If you do catch a fish and you're looking into that water and that fish is bulldogging here and there, and you look at it, you can actually see the white tip on the bottom of the tail. Who would think that? I mean, you would think that white tip's right on the bottom, but we can see that. And, you know, I'm constantly learning new techniques. I mean, I remember a couple years ago, I'm fishing this small lake up north, and I'm thinking of fishing smallmouth. So I cast this rig in here. I'm trying to think, what the heck? I'm trying to think what it is. I got to go look at my slide. I mean, it's just hard to believe. There's so many options. But what the heck is it? But I cast this rig out there, and it's typically for bass, and what do I pull in? A walleye. So now I just added a new technique, you know, to my fishing. And the other thing is, walleyes hang out all over the place. Walleyes can be deep, they can be shallow. Last year, I thought I was bass fishing using a Ned rig. And what happens? I pull in this big walleye. I pull in walleyes that are hanging out under the piers. You know, typically that wouldn't be a spot that I'd look for, but, you know, and that's it. That's you know, don't be the youth that walks up to me and says, hey, Captain Greg, I know everything about fishing, because we will never know. We get smarter, fish get smarter. And that's what's so cool about fishing. You never know, you know, what's gonna happen. You never know what's on the other end of that line. You hope it's the big walleye, but sometimes it could be the big sheephead.
All right, we'll let you get finished setting up here.
Cool.
Thank you.
Hey.
We'll keep the mic on for now.
These are all gonna sit right down in here. You know, the ones that can get away and parents let them. Because, you know, the pictures that we've had passed from the sports show where they're all sitting here, that way they can all see it. And that's what's so cool with all these schools now. They're giving us their gym so everybody can sit bleacher style. Because, you know, some of these kids sit on the ground, and I could tell you, holy man, I don't know if I can get back up. All set. Gotta just get my rods out here. Interesting.
That's why they have those socks for them, right?
Yeah, we actually got a carrying case that fish has been wrapped around. It's just got to go. At a time. Because, hey, this is what it looks like in people's boats, too. I mean, yeah, we use rod socks there. Here we just threw them together. We transport them in a container. But we'll, you know, some of our events, we actually work with kids that are 4 years old. And last year in Milwaukee, we took them fishing, and it was like, yeah, this is not gonna be fun in here. We don't want that. That's gotta get edited out. Because I always tell kids, do not use your teeth. I'm lucky my eyesight is still pretty good. All my buddies are like, oh, how do you see that? And that's it. Tomorrow we're going to teach them an easy knot that they can tie quick. But then we're going to tell them that if they really fish for big fish, we're going to teach them how to do the polymer knot, which is so important. So we're going to teach them. We're going to teach them spin casting, and we're going to teach them spinning, and just let them know if they're starting fishing. Oh, that my poor little fish probably broke. So those are all rubber. So sometimes what they'll do is they finally break. You know where the rubber actually gets through them. Yeah, most time we just go and get a new fish. What's really cool is when we give them the kids that are like 2 years old, they're like, fish, fish, you know, and it's so cool for them to see that, so. Boy, this is where you appreciate the sunlight out there. And this is where we're going to test this one right away. We're going to put it through there, because look at how many times that's been retied. So we're going to see if it's not actually doesn't slide. So we're going to teach them to twist it 7 or 8 times. Then we're going to talk about how we're going to go through the loop. Unfortunately here, the loop is, and then typically we'd wet it, you know, before we do that. So, and what's so funny is, I remember the one year I told kids about, you know, wetting it and thinking, we're not going to do that because this is how we use a rope and a big hook. Well, they would actually spit on it. And I was like, well, guess we're not using that anymore. But that's what's so cool about kids too. Hard to remember back being a third grader, but to see how they can pick up stuff so quick. And not only that, the imagination they have. So, you know, that's why I love working with third graders. Well, it looks like we're actually all set up here. Now I can go get excited because I get to talk to grown-ups about walleye fishing. And that's it, you know. When you've been doing kids fishing clinics for all these years, you know, people are like, well, can you teach adults? You know? But it's like, nope.
Sunday, Monday problem. Ooh, so sorry.
Yeah, I'll have to use their wireless.
Okay.
But you're not standing in front of the podium, right?
No, I'm going to be walking around talking, showing them what I'm using.
What the heck is
it? Oh, this is lighting controller. Oh, here we go. Okay. That's the benefit of being here for all these years. You've learned how to use all the
seminars, covering every body of water. I actually have a 4 o'clock one. Mississippi River techniques and search rates I've come up with that work about everywhere. So if you're into seminars, I think we pretty much got it covered. So I want to thank Greg and Karen. We can't forget her because you know what I'll say. I mean, she's kind of the brains of the
company. Oh, okay.
But she works hard.
She does.
You do with your kids.
Yep.
We both do. And hats off to you guys because future Hall of Famer, and he needs to be there for educating the amount of kids that him and Karen have educated here. So I'm gonna let him get going. Don't want to hold him back. Okay.
Well, you know, I shared a lot of knowledge. You know, some of you knew I'm. You know, basically, I call myself an angler educator. So I do a lot through social media. I create a lot of video content and share it. You know. Most of the time, you won't see me posting pictures like this on the internet. Most of the time, it's going to be, what's that bait? How did we catch it? You know, and show you that. The other big thing is, most of the time, if I am showing you a new lure that I really like, I'm going to show you us catching fish that are coming from the water to the boat, and not just putting hooks in the mouth, you know. So, you know, right here, you know, that's this walleye, which is right here. This guy is actually 33 1/4, 13.12. It did not come from Lake Winnebago. So the biggest fish that we caught on Lake Winnebago we caught two that were 29 1/2. I mean, Winnebago, we're just not gonna always get the biggest fish, but we're gonna get quite a few fish. And I can tell you, last year was probably one of the best years we had all year long. July, August, which typically Lake Winnebago, they slow down, they were feeding. And other things we're gonna talk about is most of the fish that I caught last year were all caught in under 8 feet of water. Most of the time I fished between 4 and 8 feet of water. We, I think, maybe hit the mud once. The big thing about shallow fish is they're consistent. So let's, I'm gonna have to, I'll just do this. Okay, electronics and the role they play. Electronics play, you know, a key role in my stuff, but 2D sonar. Why do we have 2D sonar when we're talking MyScope, sight imaging? The reason we have 2D sonar is I can go 30 miles an hour and I can mark fish, especially when we're out in the mud. You can't do that with sight imaging. You cannot do it with forward-facing sonar. So, you know, that's how I do it. The only thing I don't like about it is it only gives me a small piece of live on that screen, where I would really love to see a live of everything. But it does give you history. The other thing is you got GPS. So you either got maps. I mean, maps are a big thing. I was a guy that, you should see all the paper maps in my basement. You should see all the fishing logs when I fish professionally for walleye in the basement, because I love opening it up. I love learning what did I do, especially if I go to another body. So one thing I would say, if you guys really want to learn a body of water, keep fish logs. Write the date, where you're at, what the weather was, what was the water temp. Usually I talk to kids about this, but what the water temp is, because that's the most consistent thing on getting back to that hot bite. But what did you catch it on? And that's going to make you a lot better angler. Sight imaging, what I love about sight imaging is it can tell me what's around me. When I go out to lakes, especially if I'm learning a new lake, I'll go and sight image it with my little boat. And all I'll do is I'll leave the rods out and I'll go and sight image, because I'm going to learn the structure. I'm going to learn anything and everything that's out there. And it allows me to distinguish what I'm looking at. Live sonar. We're going to show you a video that you're going to see us catching a fish. And, you know, my buddy Cody is actually catching a fish. But we're able, with live sonar, we can tell how big the fish is. Most of the time, we can easily tell what type the fish is. But we're also going to know how are they reacting to what we're presenting to them. And the one thing to note, if you go and buy a live scope, it is not going to be plug and play. You're going to have to fine tune it. And when you go through all the menus on LiveScope, you're going to find out that there's a lot of menus to look at. But once you get that tuned right, and trust me, there's so many YouTube videos out there. What I recommend is go and try different people's settings. And eventually you're going to find a setting, or you're going to find a color that really helps you out. Okay, I know a lot of you guys might be really experienced, but I can tell you for a very long time, I did not know this. You know, we understand when we're pinging, and when we talk about LiveScope does a lot of pinging. Fish can feel that pinging. So sometimes when you're fishing shallow water, you don't want LiveScope. You can find them. Then you want to turn it off so the pinging isn't going on from the transducer, which is putting vibrations in the water. And the biggest thing that when you ping, it goes down, hits the fish, and comes up. That's why you get a hook. It gets the fish at the front point, then it comes up, then it goes back to the tail point. But the biggest thing that I'm trying to teach you here, for one, is understanding transducer cone. So when I'm vertical jigging, I don't need forward facing. I'd either be down, or I'd actually be just with a 2D transducer shooting down. And if I'm fishing vertical, I'm going to select a 20 degree angle, because I only care what's exactly underneath me when I'm fishing. If not, if you want a bigger cone angle, a lot of your graphs are going to give you multiple cone angles to select from. So you could go to the 60. The main thing in this picture is, you see how small that mark is on the top, and you see how big this is? I want you guys to understand that those are the same size fish potentially. They are not smaller. The reason they look smaller in your graph is because the pinging hits the fish and sends it right back up. So it's very quick. Where the pinging going down takes the time for the pinging to come back. So that's why it looks bigger. So I can tell you, when I was younger, I always thought those were smaller fish, but they're not. And we're going to show you how we can really successfully catch suspended fish by jigging. This is why I love site imaging. I can tell you if there's boulders. I can tell you if it's pebbles. True, trying to mark fish through site imaging is difficult in the rocks. But if you're in sand, you can easily. What you're going to see in sand is it's going to look all like this, but you're going to see white marks. And like when I go up in Green Bay and fish, I just use site imaging because I can motor through pretty quick and I can determine if there's a group of fish. And most of the time, like when I'm looking in the sand and I find fish, I'm looking for at least 6-7 fish. I'm not going to fish one or two fish. I want multiple fish. But the other thing that's going to help you with site imaging is I love setting up on the edge of weeds. So now I don't even have to get close to the weeds. I can just side image from the boat, know that those weeds are 30 feet over and fish them. So that's how side imaging plays a great part. The other thing is, what it's gonna do is, you see how I have 70 set on both sides? Usually I'll shoot 70 feet out. This is nice, because this is from my tiller boat. So typically what I have to do with my tiller boat is raise my motor up a little bit so that I can see both sides like this. So a lot has to do where your transducer is. If it's in the middle of the boat, most of the time you're gonna be pretty good with shooting. If it's off to one side, you're probably gonna have to lift up your motors a little bit so you can shoot. But when I'm doing this, most of the time I leave the rods at home because I see fish on there, I'm gonna wanna fish them instead of really going out there and learning the lake. So that's how I love using side imaging. Okay, so this is my buddy Cody Solberg. If you guys are on social media, you'll see that he's always doing videos and he is so good at his content. So what I wanna do is show you here how we're identifying fish. I wanna show you how we're catching a fish that's suspended. And, you know, just watch all that, you know.
See where that head is facing down and they're just kind of floating in that water column. More than likely it's going to be a walleye, and that's exactly what this one was doing.
That's actually what we actually saw yesterday ice fishing. We could actually, yesterday was a little different. We actually saw their head and were facing up when we were jigging them. But, you know, to see all that information there is incredible. And you know, and how we're getting some of that detail is really getting those options set correctly. This year, I'm gonna be, you know, clean power. You guys hear about clean power? Making sure that our graphs have the power straight from that battery to that graph. So my new boat is gonna have clean power at the boat bow and also at the console. That's gonna help. And then the other thing is we're gonna be using a 16-volt battery. 16 volt has higher voltage, which is going to help hopefully pick up that jig a lot easier. Because, you know, there, that was just a jig. You know, when you're using a surge bait, it's a little bigger. You have a little more profile to find. But catching suspended fish like that and seeing how they react, it's incredible. Eureka, the Wolf River. Nina has a run up it, but we're fishing really all the rivers that have current. Current is what's going to bring these fish in and get them moving up. Shallow rocks. We're going to fish rocks that are 2 feet to 4 feet. Because those fish, there's a lot of Lake Winnebago walleyes that spawn. There ain't a lot of green weeds in Winnebago early, but weeds draw bait. Bait draws walleye. I mean, and you know, weeds, when we get to summer, weeds are unbelievable. You go and catch a fish in weeds on Winnebago, it goes ballistic. It catch a lot of walleyes. A lot of people don't know, but a lot of walleyes caught on weed edges. And we'll show you some of the weed edges that we fish. Cane beds. I mean, once those cane beds start developing, which is, you know, late May, June, a lot of fish just love to crawl right in there. And all you gotta do is pitch it to the edge, you'll catch plenty of fish. Here is a key. So I live on Lake Winnebago in a small bay near Menominee Park. I'll be slowly putting out of my bay, going out. First thing I do, once I get out to the main lake, I look at the water color. The water color is gonna tell me what am I gonna do. If there's any dirtiness to that water color, I'm gonna stay in 6 feet of water or less. If the color is all right, or a little clearer, then I'm gonna start picking stuff that's a little deeper. And if it's crystal clear, even in the deeper water, then yeah, probably go to the mud. But knowing summer, if that water is dirty, if it's windy, that will help with the light penetration, and them walleyes are gonna be tight. They're gonna be into the shores. So back in, if you are in the basin, moving back into the rocks. And most of the time, live bait, the walleyes in the system, they'll start migrating up those rivers in September, October. So, you know, get right back in those rivers and you can fish the rivers. It's gotta be one of your spots, especially if you're coming anywhere out of Oshkosh, this spot should be someplace you always try, no matter if it's spring, fall, or even summer. Because if there's current coming in here, those fish will be there. The other thing to note about that is you want to make sure with the river, you don't really want to fish the river when you have an east wind, because the east wind will cut that current down and them fish ain't going to be hanging around there. So you do not want to do that. We got Asylum Bay, so that is that area and that area, along with Pegasus Bay up there, those are excellent weed fishing spots. So, you know, that's where I really like summer, late. Want to be a great angler? Pick a spot where you like to fish and learn it. Graph it out really good, learn the techniques, and learn when those fish like to hit those spots on it, because that's what I did there. Trust me, I love the Upper Lakes. Oh, that's where we're going to go next. Upper Lakes. Oh, believe it or not, the Upper Lakes, Lake Butamore, that fishing is just as. Guess what happens when you have a rock pile with mud all around it? A lot of fish love to sit on there. So, spring, we're going to fish Sunset Point, and we're going to fish Oakwood Point, Leonard Point. Great spots. It's great spots for jigging, great spots for slip bobbering. Another great place to fish is that's on Lake Poygan. I mean, there's reefs all over the place. And the way to go out there, learn it, side image it. You'll find rocks here. You'll find rocks always here. Going across this point is really good. You're going to find rocks in here. And then that spot right there. I can tell you, when I fish tournaments, and if I knew I was in the Upper Lakes, I would always make a stop at the Wolf River, because there are so many fish that lay and stay, especially if there's a current there. If there's no current, then just move on. But there are so many different spots that you can go and catch fish on a Winnebago system. Okay, we got our standard jigging technique. The one other thing that I really like to talk about is just dragging a jig. A lot of people will say, hey, you know, I'm always pumping the jig. Believe it or not, that's why I like fishing with my wife. She likes to drag a jig. So now I know if they're not as aggressive, that she's dragging a jig and she's catching a fish and I'm not. And that just shows you, you know, by all these different techniques, vertical jigging. You know, I still remember, even though it wasn't Lake Winnebago, I remember last year when I was on the Wisconsin River and we were just wailing on the walleyes, and these guys came up and said, hey, we caught 5, how many you caught? We caught 70. He goes, I seen you catching a lot of fish. He's like, why were you catching so many more fish than us? It was called boat control. We were vertical jigging in the river, but vertical jigging, when vertical jigging is, I use, it's either gonna be live bait or probably a Berkeley flatworm, but all that's doing is twitching like that. I went up and fished a lake up north, and I thought I was on smallmouth. I thought I saw some smallmouth in deeper water. So I went and changed my rig to a drop shot. And all of a sudden, what was my first fish? A walleye. Second fish, a walleye. So it was like, by accident, I found out drop shotting is a great technique. And it's great for everything. Smallmouth, panfish, and walleyes. One thing you'll see here is I got all my rods set up, but I'm definitely braid line. Braid line.
to either a mono leader or fluorocarbon leader. And when I'm a fluorocarbon leader, I'm using 15-pound test. I want to make sure, you know, they ain't going to see it. You know, as long as it's pliable, you're going to be fine. But that's really my setups right there. And really for everything. Okay. Let's talk about the jigs I use. So what I really like, that beef fishing jig, let's get this pointer out here. What's really nice about that jig is it's like a tri jig. And what I like about it is I do fish a lot of rocks on Winnebago.